Well, it's good to be back. What an ordeal last week, right? In case you weren't here and missed it, I had a little bit of a medical emergency before the service last week and had to go to the hospital, like right during the service. But I'm here today and everything's good. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that experience in a little bit later. But you know, I get a question asked me a lot, especially in light of what happened last week. And maybe you've been asked this question too, is what keeps you up at night? What keeps you up at night? You know, another way to think about this is do you have anything in your life that's causing you stress? What about financial worries? Do you ever stay up at night worried about how to pay the bills? Or maybe what keeps you up at night is the refrigerator making that funky noise at 2 a.m. in the morning. Or it might be what I experience sometimes. The other night, Friday night, I woke up probably about 12:30, and my wife was making these weird breathing noises in her sleep. And I usually don't hear that, but for some reason or another, I lay there for like an hour trying to go to sleep, and I could not tone her out. So that kept me up for sure until I put the earplugs in and then I was fine. I was able to go right to sleep. But that question is really asking, what we're really trying to get at when people reflect on that question is, what is draining the life out of you right now? Well, this morning I want to turn that question around and help us to approach it from a little bit different vantage point. And so I want to ask it this way. What's giving you life? What's giving you life right now? Where are you putting down roots that is giving you rest, peace, strength, courage? What is the source? Where are you drawing those things from? Well, when we reflect on this text and the entire book of Colossians and what Paul is dealing with in this book, Paul's answer to that question is surprising. When he wrote Colossians, Paul's stress list was pretty long. I mean, we know from just the reading that the kids did a minute ago, that Paul is being held in chains. He's in prison because he's been proclaiming the message of Christ, and that has stirred up trouble for him in communities, especially within the Jewish community. We also know that Paul continues to carry this burden of sharing the message of Jesus. He's in prison, he's in chains, but yet he is so compelled to share the ministry, the message of Jesus, that it's all he thinks about. I mean, in that passage, in chapter 4, he says, "Pray for me that God would open a door for me to share the mysteries of Christ." And so Paul is always carrying that calling, that life purpose and mission with him wherever he goes. And then you have the context of what's going on there in Colossae, where he initially sends this letter. We know that this church community is being torn apart through the twisted teachings of false teachers. And so Paul is always trying to push back against people who would twist the message of Jesus or add to the gospel. And things like that. So he's struggling with that. And then, like we learned about last week from Jacob sharing the message that I had prepared and wasn't able to give, that the church is also, the Christians within that community are struggling to rid themselves of their old ways, their old lifestyle before coming to Christ. That they're dealing with sins, habits, hang-ups, and all of that thing. So So there's all of this that's just kind of weighing upon Paul. But yet, listen to what he says. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. So what is giving life to Paul? Prayer and praise. These seem to be the source that is sustaining him in this dark season of his life. And so what Paul is doing is he's emphasizing these two rhythms of a healthy spiritual life. Prayer and praise. Prayer is about staying connected to God in every season, in every circumstance, in every stage of life. When we're praying, we are connecting to God. And then the praise or thanksgiving is about staying aware of what God is doing. Because what elicits our praise, what draws our thankfulness, is when we see what God is doing. We can't help but say, "Thank you, Lord. I see you. I see what you're doing." So the bottom line is this: healthy spiritual rhythms are the antidote to the life-draining rhythms of the world. That's what it boils down to. But why these two things? Why prayer and praise? Well, I believe the reason is this: because when I pray and when I praise, it pulls me into the presence of God. It pulls me into an awareness of His presence. I love Psalm 105, verse 5. It says, "Look for signs of His presence. Seek His presence continually." And you see, when I am praying and praising, I am aware. I am brought into God's presence. And here's the thing: where His presence is where there is life. Jesus was clear about that. When we abide in Him and He in us, our lives bear fruit. And He wants to be a part of our life. And His presence is where we find life, a fruitful life. Now, there are a couple things that I want to unpack for a second about these two things, about prayer and praise. The first thing is this, is that gratitude fuels prayer. My thankfulness is what gives fuel to my prayer life. Paul actually starts the letter of Colossians with gratitude because he says, "We always thank God when we pray for you." You see, what is Paul thankful for? Well, he is seeing what God is doing. If you go back and look at that first chapter, Paul talks about all these things that he sees and hears about that's going on in that church, that their lives are being rooted in Christ, their faith is growing, Their spiritual life has come alive, and these people are following Jesus and experiencing Him. And Paul says, "I am so thankful for that." Y'all, that is really what the heart cry of, I think, a pastor really is that the people in under our care and being shepherded and led and a part of the church are experiencing Jesus in profound ways in their life. Y'all, that's what keeps us up at night. And it certainly kept Paul up, but more than worrying and fretting, he's thankful that he sees signs of these things happening. But here's the problem. A lot of times for us, sometimes our thankfulness is pretty shallow. We're like, "Lord, I thank you that I'm not as bad off as they are. Lord, I thank you that I don't have those problems in my life." Or God, thank you for the peace I have in my life. Or we say, you know, God, thank you for that parking spot that's closer to the entrance of Walmart, so I don't have to push my buggy across that mess out there. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, I don't even put the eggs in the basket anymore coming out of there because I think they're all going to be broke by the time I get out to the car. So when that parking spot opens up right up front, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. But y'all, that's kind of a shallow thankfulness. A Christ-centered gratitude moves in this direction, away from the gift and toward the giver. That's the big difference. It's not just, God, thank you for this blessing, but God, I thank you because you are the source of that blessing. You see, that's the deeper thing that Paul, I think, was living by. You see, one makes us consumer Christians. Thank you for the blessings, Lord. The other deepens our awareness of God's presence, the one who blesses. Thank you, Jesus, for being so real to me. Thank you for being with me, Lord. And yes, my life is so blessed because of you, but the reason is because you're in it. You're in my life. This is the greater blessing. So it's like the difference between loving grandma and loving grandma for her chocolate chip cookies. Don't think she doesn't know the difference. She does. Paul's not talking about polite thank yous. It's shallow to thank God for the gift and ignore the giver. And real thankfulness doesn't just notice the gift, but it rather seeks the giver of the gifts. So Paul says, be alert to thankfulness. Look for signs of his presence every day. And so when you see the blessings, you're looking beyond the blessing and you're seeing God. You're seeing how he is present and wants to be with us. So that's the first thing. My gratitude fuels my prayer life. And I bet it does yours too. It certainly did Paul's. But the second thing is this, is prayer and praise connects us to his presence. When we pray and when we praise, we are connected to the presence of God. Now, let me explain how I have experienced this most recently. Obviously, I'm going to talk about what happened last week. So I had this episode right at the beginning of the service last week where I lost a vision, a partial vision of my left eye, and my face got numb. That's the only symptoms I was having. I felt off that morning, and my eyes were like, I couldn't focus. Like when the first song was being sung, I couldn't see the screen. And so when I started losing my peripheral vision, I knew that something was happening. I needed to probably go to the hospital. And so that's when I sought out Lorraine Gilbert, and a nurse, you know, who comes to church here, and they immediately did some analysis. We called the EMTs. They came and said, yeah, you need to go to the ER. So I was transported to the ER, and I was there at the intake with the nurse, and she said, yes, we need to get you back and get you seen about really fast. So they went and got the wheelchair thingy, you know, put me in it, and then she looked at me and she said, okay, I need you to know this. We're about to walk through those doors, and when we do, there is going to be a swarm of people on you. Don't be scared, just hang in there, but I need you to know this is about to happen. So they called on the intercom code gray, which I knew had to be better than code blue. I've heard that before, and I don't think that's a good thing, but code gray is kind of new to me. Code gray is the stroke protocol. They thought I might be having like a TIA mini stroke. So they called code gray, the doors fling open, and whoosh, all the staff come in. They usher me in, all these tests, and all of those things. It was pretty chaotic for about 30, 45 minutes. And I'd never been through that before. It was all brand new to me. And so I couldn't even think. I couldn't even really do anything except what they were telling me to do. They were constantly giving me all these directives. And so I've got to the trauma room, and I'm lying in there in the bed, and it's been crazy for a while. And but then it just got quiet. I mean, there was nobody in there. I was by myself. The lights were out. And in that space of just a few moments, just everything just slowed down for me. And I got really still. And I remember laying there. I wasn't moving in the bed or anything. I was just lying there resting. And the only thing I could hear was my heartbeat. You know, I was that still. I was that quiet. And, of course, I could hear it chirping on the little machine behind me. And it was in that moment that I really, really prayed. You know, really, you know, I was praying all morning long, you know, about the situation. But this is where I really, like, I knew there was a connection there. And I just remember praying. I said, Lord, would you be present with me right now? God, be in this room. I need you, Lord. But I trust in you. I trust you. I don't know, but I trust you. And I said, I will let your peace come. And it did. You know, I felt at peace. I wasn't worried. I didn't stress out. I just was there, and I knew God was there, and that seemed to make it okay. And so, thankfully, you know, my situation was all good. They ruled out any kind of stroke or anything like that. I do have a brain. I can verify that. I have 85 pictures on my phone of my brain, so I know I'm good there, at least from a medical standpoint. I don't know about otherwise. but I didn't have that problem. Rather, they said I had a strange form of a migraine. It's almost like an ocular migraine, if any of you have ever had that before, or a migraine with aura, where you lose vision and see lights and strange things like that happening. We don't know the cause, but, you know, hopefully that will be revealed over time. I've never had anything like that, and I pray I never do again. But I'm so thankful that everything was okay. Now, while I lay in that hospital for those 30 hours or so in that ER, you know, my situation was evolving. It was unknown. It was uncertain. I didn't know. I didn't, you know, it didn't change when I just prayed. That didn't change the situation. But I knew He was there. I knew God's presence was there. And so my message to you today, and what has been speaking to me all week, is when you need peace, seek the peace giver. You know, a lot of times we run, I need peace, I need peace. When rather what I learned is I need Jesus. I need the Lord. When you need healing, seek the healer. When you need guidance and direction in your life, seek His voice. Seek His voice. Listen for it. God reveals His direction, His voice, when we encounter Him and when we encounter Him in His Word. Y'all, this is what gave life to Paul in prison. We see it throughout his prison letters. And it's what will give life to us now. Paul's roots were sunk down deep into God's presence. And that's why there was fruit in his life. Joy, gratitude, purpose, courage. Paul experienced all of that fruit in this dark season. And it kept growing even while he was behind bars because he was experiencing Jesus there. So what are you seeking today? You seeking blessings? Are you seeking the one who gives the blessings? Seek him, find him in the midst, and you will find the treasures of the kingdom of God. And so we're going to end this morning with just focusing on seeking his presence together. And there's a verse that I want to just lift up to be a guide to us. And Jacob's going to come and lead us in this prayer time as well as the band. So if y'all would prepare to come up here in just a moment. In Exodus 33:14, the Lord says to Moses and all those Israelites that have been in the wilderness, God says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." So right now, let's make space for us to seek God's presence, not the blessing, but him, because when we find him, we find life. And that's. Thank you for joining us in worship today. As you go forth, I pray this week that you experience Jesus' presence in a very tangible and real way in your life. Seek him, and you will find him. So thank you for being here. God bless you. Would you help us?